I can't get past the thought that the disciples were consumed with their love for Jesus, for being able to see the world like he did. They were constantly living a lifestyle surrendered to the vision, to the passion, to the heartbeat of God. And we see that throughout Scripture. We see that through Abraham. We see that through Isaac and Jacob. We see the promise moving through these incredible people. We see prophets and prophetesses that are inflamed with the passion of Jesus. We see the disciples surrendering themselves even unto death to realize the dream and the vision of God. And it's our invitation too, to step into that, for us to yearn for a revival, more than just a church experience or a great Sunday or a successful life, but to begin to actually surrender it before the Lord, to surrender your dreams before the Lord and allow yourself to dream his dream. I think that's where we see things take flight. We start to realize that there is treasure. There's stuff inside of us that is actually a yes to the heartbeat of God. For every person in this room, this isn't just a call for a pastor or a missionary or somebody who really loves God a lot. This is the reason why we're on earth. This is the high call of loving and serving Jesus, is to be consumed by him. This morning, I just felt like as we were just jumping into worship, we started singing about breakthrough, and it reminded me of this movie scene. You may have seen this. The movie is called The Patriot. And so there's this moment where all of the men are retreating. They're trying to take this hill, and they can't do it, so they begin to retreat. And in a moment, one of the men grabs the flag, and he charges to the front line. And as he charges to the front line, men start to come to their senses. We have to turn around and we have to follow the flag. And so they go and they push over the top of the hill, and they do something they thought they couldn't do. They did something they thought was impossible. I just felt like that's worship. When we begin to worship, when we begin to get in this place where we begin to just get captivated by God's heart, it is our worship becomes that flag that moves forward, and it begins to move us into impossible things. How many of you know when you get in the presence of God, the things that seem impossible all of a sudden start to seem more possible? And so that is our worship. Our worship begins to step into breakthrough. It's not possible for you to have breakthrough unless you turn around and go the opposite direction. So we have to push. Come on, we have to push. Come on, did you hear that? We have to push. Come on, we have to push in our families. We have to push in our city. We have to begin to push. Innocent as doves and as wise as serpents, we have to continue to push. There's something about that. There's something that God is speaking to in that, that we are to push forward, even when it's difficult. Let's do this together. Put your hands out. Father, we thank you that we have not been given a spirit of fear. Instead, you've given us a sound mind. That there is a road forward. That there is hope. That there is a future. That there is breakthrough over our families. There is breakthrough in our cities. There is breakthrough in our schools. There is breakthrough everywhere we put our feet. Heaven is on our heels. So we thank you. We thank you. We adore you. We worship you. And we're reminded again why we are here. Jesus.
Yeah. I just heard the Lord saying, it's daybreak for you. The night is over. The sun has risen over you. And he is calling you, his sons and daughters, to arise with the sun and be a light and alive forevermore in the light of his beauty and grace. He makes his face to shine upon you. He says, come away. I have things to show you that have been hidden. But now I am giving you eyes to see and a heart to understand. The books are open now that had been closed for a time. And I am shining my light upon them so that you might see things you haven't known, things you haven't understood. I'm expanding you, enlarging you, because it is time. The time is now. My timing is perfect, and you are perfect for my time. I say, arise and shine, arise and shine.
So I was upstairs in worship and kind of had a picture coming to mind and was thinking, is this for me? Is it for everybody? And then this wonderful friend, Teresa, where are you? There's my friend Teresa, came up and shared a word with me. And I thought, well, that was just confirmation that I'm going to come down here and share it. Take it if you want it. But I've been doing a crossword, or not a crossword puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle at home. And it's one of those that has like all the teeny tiny pictures that create the one big picture. And God was just showing me that, like, you know, the big picture is him. And when we get in, okay, I've got one drum to beat is read your Bibles. There you go. Read your Bibles. And just as I read the Bible, all of those problems in life become the teeny tiny pictures. And he comes out in those as that great big shining picture. So reading in that, just spending time with him, not reading to solve a problem, but reading to spend time with him, he fades every one of those little pieces into the glorious picture of who he is in our lives. So, read your Bibles. All right, well, Jesus, we thank you for your kind love letter that we call the Bible. It tells us who we are, and more importantly, it tells us who you are in us. And our call to be with you. It gives us courage and power, and it gives us that consuming love for you, Lord. And as we continue to focus on you, Lord God, we see you weave through our lives all of those concerns. You remind us that you are watching over us, that you know our cares before we even know to pray them to you. So I pray, Father God, that as we take time, as we read, as we get to know you through the word that you've given us, Lord, that each person would find their love for you growing into deeper measure, and that boldness and courage would overwhelm their hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus. Come on, is that good? Yeah, why don't we just thank him? Why don't we just bless him this morning? Come on.
Amen.
Why don't we bless the worship team? Thank you, worship team. That was awesome. Thank you. Man, I love the heavenlies. You just get, just stay there. Go a little deeper. Stay a little longer. Get in your word and hear his voice. Spend some time with him. It's good. Well, we've got some good stuff this morning. Jeff is going to preach the word this morning, but one thing, and Jeff, I don't want to tackle this unless you're going to. Is it all right if we pray for Mike and Deb, specifically Deb? Okay, cool. So, Deb has had, just like a nosebleed, and she's had it cauterized like 4 or 5 times. She's hasn't been able to sleep. It's just not cool. So I just thought this morning that we would just begin to just pray, and intercede on her behalf that it would seal and that she would get rest. Can we do that? So I'm gonna actually put the mic down. I'm just gonna let us begin to just stir up prayer for Deb, And I just want you to take a minute, and we're just going to just pray out over Mike and Debbie both and just bless them. And we'd see this thing cauterized and done in Jesus' name. So good. Yeah. Come on, the sleep that's been robbed and stolen, may it be given back 2, 3, 4, 100-fold in Jesus' name. Come on.
Just a quick healing testimony. My friend Liz was saying, come on, let's grab flags. And I says, oh, man, my arm's really hurting me today. I just can't. It's hurting right here really bad. And she just, well, let's pray. And she started praying. Hallelujah. And that got healed right there.
That's awesome.
But I also have an elbow and a shoulder that's got the misery too. Uh-huh. And so and only this got the healing. And I'm going, and so through the course of worship, I just kept saying, Father, I want that healing to just expand. And it has. This is not 100%, but this is.
Yeah, come on. More. The presence heals. That's the moral of that story. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, this is so good. Well, can we put up our declaration? Are you ready? Are you set enough for us to do their declaration this morning over offering? We did a little switcheroo. We're doing double and triple duty this morning. We're doing great. Oh my goodness, look how fast that was. Why don't you stand up? Let's declare this together over our offering. God is adamant about his favor over you. He loves you. And so we just declare this over our offering together. As we receive today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decreased, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on. So good. We have kids. Cool. And then let's just pray for the kiddos this morning. Come on up, kiddos. We're just going to go ahead. We got good stuff going. Tiff, you want to pray for the kids? Oh, we're on the spot. Come on, look at these world changers here. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. All right, why don't we extend a handout this morning? Father, we thank you. Bless these little ones really good. We thank you that they are highly anointed, highly favored, and beloved of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, so good. All right, without further ado, Jeff, why don't you come on up? Why don't we bless Jeff this morning?
And after spending time in the presence, like worship, and I would hope that there's... How are we doing? Amen. Well, praise God. Just a few things. Let me just get some things out of the way. As Josh mentioned, we're just really praying for Mike and Debbie. Mike was scheduled to preach today. They had been on vacation. They came home early. Debbie's really struggling with this. And one of the things that I felt and I discerned, and I want to break it off right now, and I feel compelled to teach on this, but I'm just going to put some breaks on it, is we got to go after breaking off witchcraft. Witchcraft. And just real quickly, for those of you that are guests of Echo Hills this morning and you haven't been with us and you don't know my style or who I am, I'm just going to give you a quick Reader's Digest version of witchcraft. Witchcraft is simply this: I don't like you, get out of my way. It's when you inflict or put upon someone else your own desire. It's breaking marriages, it's coming against the church, and it's literally causing sickness on people. So I want to break off the witchcraft that I discerned as I listened to Josh this morning on Debbie Richardson and Mike Richardson. And if you have spoken against them, or you speak against me, or you speak against others, the Lord will deal with you. Not me, not Josh, not my prayers. But I just sensed the witchcraft, and I just, man, the worship was so good, and I knew we were going to pray for Debbie and Mike. But to feel and see and sense the body of Christ coming against another person in the body of Christ, please forgive me for saying that is absolutely uncalled for. And I'm going to ask that you take a stand right now. And that if you have spoken against somebody, If you are speaking and praying words that do not line up with the will of God, that you understand you are engaging in witchcraft. You are inflicting your will and your desire over someone else that is outside the will and desire of God for their life. And the effect of it is roadblocks, divorce, broken covenant, blood. That's why when Josh talked about the bleeding of the nose, immediately it's like, oh, Lord, the witchcraft has got to be broken off of us, and it's got to stop coming from us. The world doesn't know any better. They're going to curse us. They're going to speak against each other. They're going to engage in divination and sorcery and in selfishness and self-righteousness. But you and I do know better. And if you don't like someone, the best thing for you to do is get your face before the Lord and say, Lord, change me. Change me. If you don't like our worship, if you don't like our worship leaders, if you don't like me, I'm asking you to shut your mouth and get in the face of the Lord and go, Lord, change me. Change me. Because what we can encounter when we come together in the revelation and the glory of God can be so awesome. And I love singing every single song we sang. I believe that every single word on that screen is absolutely true. But we will never encounter it as long as we throw daggers at one another. Now, I'm not pointing my finger at anybody because I have no idea. All I know is that our leaders, Pastor Mike and Debbie, have been robbed of vacation time, have been robbed of their health, have been robbed of potential stepping into calling and destiny. Because there are people, hopefully not in this room, that just don't care for us as born-again believers. And as the body of Christ, we better not be joining the world in standing against one another. So would you please stand with me? And we're going to, welcome to Echo Hills. I'm back from vacation. We're going to pray for Mike and Debbie, but I'm also going to ask that you ask Holy Spirit to do some serious, let's go deeper, let's do some more. Lord, forgive me if this is where you're at. No condemnation, no shame, no guilt. That's not who we are. That's not my point. But we do have to get serious if we're going to experience what we're calling out. And that starts with, Lord, show me where I'm engaging in things that are not of you. Show me where my words do not line up with your words. Show me where I'm inflicting my desires on other people. So in the name of Jesus, Father, we come right now. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us where we have spoken against our brothers and sisters, even against the unsaved, where we have inflicted harm and hurt through our words. Father, where we have literally prayed our own desire over other people's lives, not considering yours, not understanding what you're doing in them and through them and what you want to do in me and through me. Father, we come against all witchcraft and divination and sorcery. We come against all the works of the flesh right now, and we ask for forgiveness in the name of Jesus, for the blood speaks a better word. The blood has done the restitution and the reconciling and the repentance, but we acknowledge the blood. We appropriate the blood, and we declare over you, Mike and Debbie, in the name of Jesus, be renewed this day. Be strengthened this day. Be rewarded 100-fold, 1,000-fold from what the enemy has tried to take from you, from what the words of others have put you under. Father, we thank you and we release that in the name of Jesus right now over, Lord, our leaders, over our pastors, Father, over those that have been called to walk a very hard road, but a very narrow road. And Father, how well done they have done. They've done what they thought they could do to the best of their ability, and we bless them. It might not meet my expectations. It might not meet the expectations of others, but Lord, guard my mouth and guard my heart from speaking my own will, my own desires over others. And Holy Spirit, we come right now in this posture of faith, in this posture of righteousness, in this posture of desire, and we say, Lord, expose within me any selfish, righteous nature that would want to inflict and put upon others my desire outside of your desire, my will outside of your will. Father, when I don't know what you're doing, I welcome you to teach me and show me. Father, when I don't understand a situation, Father, I will seek out revelation rather than inflict my own desires, my own experiences, and bring my past and my self-righteousness and my idolatry into the situation. So, Father, we pray for a breaking breaking forth, as we've declared today, Lord, breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Father, let there be a breakthrough in the body of Christ. Let there be a reconciling and a restitution, Lord, within the bride as we hear the bridegroom is coming. Father, let us be men and women who rise up and speak the power of the word in the authority that we've been given through grace and love and truth. Father, may we be men and women who look upon our city and don't just see the darkness, but see, Lord, where the light is going, where the light is breaking forth, where the light needs to be. And may we know that the power of a blessing is far greater than the power of a curse. Father, may we know the power of our words that carry life and death. And I pray that right now, if any of you are struggling with confusion, if any of you are dealing with weird blood issues and bleeding like the nose of Debbie, if any of you are dealing with headaches, those are indicators of standing against witchcraft or being involved in witchcraft. And so we break that off of you right now. We break off the physical affliction, but Lord, we take responsibility for where we've put our tongue. We take responsibility for where we've put our attitude. We take responsibility for where we've put our heart and our feet. And in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Come on. We thank you for the grace that is sufficient. We thank you for the joy of the Lord that breaks forth in this day. Father, we thank you that it's the kindness of the Lord that brings us into repentance. And so we bless you in the name of Jesus. We bless you, Father, for the glory of Jesus is upon us. We bless you, Lord, for the righteousness and justice. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that again we can stand here today. We can come before you today and just totally be transparent and let there be no pride, be no arrogance, be no selfishness, and say, Father, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know, but now I know. Now I know, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Now I know. And as you know, may you go. As you know, may you never return back to this place where you find yourself stuck. Find yourself acting and speaking outside of what the heart of the Father is for you and for others. In the name of Jesus, would you do one more thing with me? Would you turn to somebody, and whether it's your spouse, your kids, a loved one, they might be a stranger this morning, but I just feel there's something, and again, you know, I ask this, but you have your own choice, but would you just turn to them and bless them. Speak a blessing over them. And if that's something new, speaking a blessing is simply saying, in the name of Jesus, may you know his heart. In the name of Jesus, be blessed today. And some of you will do more. Some of you understand more. But would you turn to somebody and bless them this morning? Let us be a people who know the power of blessing, the power of releasing and speaking in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Lord, let the blessings flow this morning. Let the blessings break through this morning. Come on. Come on. Something that I love to think about is, man, if I'm going to bless somebody, I want to bless them the same way I want to be blessed. Oh, Lord, we thank you for financial breakthrough. We thank you, Lord, for healing. We thank you for revelation in dreams. We thank you for the discerning of spirits. Father, we thank you for words of knowledge in the marketplace. Father, we thank you for the revelation that sets us on the course, Lord, to see the glory, to bring the gospel message to the nations. Come on, we bless you right now. Some of you in this room, you've never been blessed. You've never recognized the blessing. You don't know how to receive a blessing. I say today, let it break forth. Let it open up new doors to you. Let it begin to just pour out in such a manner that you recognize there's a shifting. Come on, as we were singing today, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. There are things that the Lord has hidden for you, not from you. And so we thank you, Lord, that today we are men and women who are going to search out that truth. We are men and women who are going to recognize the picture within the picture within the picture. Thank you, Jesus, for that breakthrough. Come on, some of you feel like, man, I blessed them. What do I do now? Turn to somebody else and bless them. Let's be a people that bless, bless, bless. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Shura radaki de 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 de. Illa barakusha tarabaraki de de de. Oh, come on. Some of you, you can take a seat. Thank you, Jesus. Say that again. Oh, man. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Some of you, let's just take a moment. I know we talk about this, and we've dealt with this before. But it's just one of those moments where, you know, the power of self-fulfilling prophecy, right? We speak out something, and then we wonder why it happens. It's like, you know, Lord, I'm trying to think of examples in my own life where it just, you know, like, oh, I hope that never happens to me, and all of a sudden it happens. Well, what happened was the power of my words put into place and put into motion manifestation. And we have to understand that our words carry the ability to create, to bring forth. The most tragic situations often that I end up facing and trying to walk with people through is the reality that you've come from a very difficult background. You've come from a very hard home, whether it's broken, you know, whatever it may look like. And we make vows and we say things like, I will never be like my dad, or I will never marry someone like my mom, or I will never, whatever the vow may be. And what we've actually done is we've actually put in place through thought and the power of our words a reality that is far greater than what we actually want, because we're actually saying it. I don't want to marry someone like my dad. So what am I then compelled to do? To constantly look for people that are like my dad so I don't end up marrying them. Or I don't want to be like my, I'll put it in context of, like, I don't want to marry someone like my mom. So what am I constantly looking for? I'm looking for that character, that personality trait, that mannerism that's so like my mom, that what I actually do is I become so familiar with it, and it's out of familiarity that now there comes this comfortable relationship that, you know, I step back and go, oh, I married someone like my mom. Now, praise God, I got born again, I got saved, and I learned how to bless my mom. God blessed my mom. She had attributes, she had personality, she had character that I grew up saying, I will never marry someone like my mom. But because of God's goodness in my life, and because he showed me, you know, how to honor that, I began to break that vow and go, Lord, bless my mom. She knew what she knew how to do, and she was who she was. But Lord, I want that person that you have for me. And praise God, yeah, there's my wife, Jacqueline. Amen. The point is that, well, let me use this example. Growing up as a kid and being who I was, number three in a line of six, I knew how to avoid the trouble because my two older brothers constantly got into it. And I knew how to pass it on to my younger sisters and brother because of where I sat in the family line, the family dynamics. And so I was able to get out of a lot of things. And I prided myself on that. And I carried that through college until, again, Jesus got a hold of me and taught me responsibility and what I'm doing is manipulating and stuff. And I can remember when I first became a dad, my greatest fear was that my kids were going to be like me. Be like me in my old self. And so it's like, oh, dear God, please let them, you know, we are not having six kids. We are not having more than four kids. And, you know, in your innocence and in your ignorance and in your naivety, we make these vows. We say these things to guard our heart, to protect ourselves, because we don't know better. And when we walk in isolation and loneliness and don't have somebody to rub shoulders with us, sometimes we don't even hear what we're saying until all of a sudden it starts to manifest. And it's like, my God, my kids are growing up like, you know, I used to be. Why is that? And the Lord's like, because you've actually not put into place what I want for them. Lord, I thank you that my kids will become who you've called them to become. I wish that was today and in this moment. But again, the grace and the recognition of, you know, we're in a journey. And so I look at where my kids are at now. I look at what God's doing in their life. And, you know, I stop and I just go, praise God that they're nothing like me before I was born again. In the fact that, you know, kids are kids. They love independence. They want to explore. They want this, so those things are there. But I'm not going to hold them captive. I don't want to hold them captive by putting on them an expectation that isn't of the Lord. Now, the expectations of the Lord are the standards that we do call out. And the standards that, yes, at times they will buck against, they will push against, and they will break our heart at times. One of the biggest lessons in our family that I've had to learn is that Holy Spirit is the best parent. Holy Spirit knows my kids better than I do. And what I pray, and they maybe they're aware of this. I don't know that I prayed this out loud. But what I pray is, Lord, what I can't see, you can. So thank you for taking care of them. Now, Jacqueline, you know, she's got a different gift mix, and we pray the same things. But again, you know, God will give us words of knowledge and will show us how to let things go and how to address certain things. But what I have had to resolve in my own call as a parent, and then this unfolds into other areas of my life, is that, Holy Spirit, you are the best parent. And you know better than I do what my kids need right now. And that comes back to this place of, that's why I'm kind of laughing, forgive me. Let me just look at something real quick with you. If you have a Bible, open up to 1 Samuel 15. And I promise, I'll get to where I thought we'd go this morning. But this is good. I feel like this is the Lord. How many of you are familiar with on-site insight? Right? It's just the nature of the Lord. You get into a place and all of a sudden the Lord starts to download things. Not that he didn't know this moment was going to happen. I totally believe he did. And I've spent the last few days after Pastor Mike called and just said, hey, can you cover for me and explain to me the situation at home? And so I sat with the Lord. But look at this, 1 Samuel 15. And this is the story of Saul. And I just want to really quickly pick it up. Gwen, I don't have any of this in my notes, but that's okay if you got a Bible. I just want to pick this up in verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Thank you for asking. And before I read this verse, let me give you some context if you're not familiar with this story. So Samuel has been anointed king. Saul has been anointed king. The prophet Samuel has come. He's found Saul. There's the whole story of Saul. Saul's the first king of Israel. God didn't really want to give Israel a king because he wanted to be their Lord, right? But because we sometimes look at other nations, we look at other people groups, we go, hey, I want to be like them, or I desire to be like them, or why are we so different? And God, in his grace and in his workings, decides to let Israel be similar to other nations and gives them a king, and their first king is Saul. And most of us, you know, if we've grown up in the church and we've heard about the story of Saul and David, we look at Saul and we go, dude, that guy was a loser. But he wasn't. He was God's choice to lead the people. And here's the beauty in that relationship that you and I should pull from, is that there are consequences to our choice that don't honor the Lord. What if Saul had actually walked the way God wanted him to walk? We might have a very different version of the Bible, of the story. And so God works with us, absolutely. But in this story, Saul has been told to go capture and eradicate the Amalekites. And literally is told, don't let anybody live. And that's a whole different Old Testament topic we're not going to get into right now about, you know, how God wipes out people and all of that. But the point being is that Saul was given a command by God to go and wipe them out and to not leave any sheep or offering or whatever. So Samuel shows up, and what the word says is that he hears the, and I never get this word right, the bleat, yes. Do it again, Kathy. The bleating. I always say bleeping, but it's not a bad word. It's the bleating of sheep. And Samuel immediately is like, Saul, what have you done? And we pick up that story right here in verse 22. Well, actually, backing up, it says, verse 19, it says, why did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord? Now pause here. Let's give Saul some credit in the sense that growing up, he's watched other nations capture other nations. He's watched kingdoms destroy other kingdoms. And the practice of the day was to keep their king alive so that the other residents of the land would then submit, knowing that their king is captured. So it's like a trophy. So King Agag here of the Amalekites, Saul looks upon him and goes, hey, you know what? I'm going to keep you around as a trophy that I have conquered you. And I think some of us have trophies that God never intended us to have. So Holy Spirit, you deal with that. But Saul here has kept King Agag alive, and he's about ready to justify in what I would stop and go, really, Lord? I think it's okay. Because his heart is to make an offering of worship by keeping all these sheep and goats and animals alive. But watch what the Lord says to Saul through Samuel the prophet. It says, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord? Oh, Lord. Forgive me. Then Saul said to Samuel, I did not obey the voice of the Lord. Then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. So Saul absolutely believes that he has done what the Lord has called him to do. But notice he says something interesting. He says, I went on the mission. Listen, some of us are on mission, but we're still not in obedience. Some of us are attending church. Let's just make it personal today. Some of us are attending Sunday morning church, and we're still missing it. Some of you online, God bless you. I'm glad that we offer an online service. But is that where God wants you? Holy Spirit, show us. Some of us are avoiding certain relationships, and I think I even heard it this morning in the worship, you know, make that phone call if you're looking for your healing. See, some of us aren't even willing to engage the mission of reconciliation, of restoration, of loving others, of showing the kindness of God that leads to repentance. Some of us aren't even willing to engage in the mission. Can I just say to you right now, I would ask that all of you consider, I don't care what your age is, Lord, am I called to Haiti right now to go and be part of restoring another devastating earthquake? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I prayed that. I mean, I looked at the news and thought, oh, God bless Haiti, send people. And the Lord immediately is like, are you going to ask me if you want to go? I'm like, no, I am not, because there's a part of me that doesn't want to go. But when I honestly get down to it, it's like, Lord, I want to honor you. And I don't feel him calling me to Haiti at this time. Years ago, when I first got born again, there was a big hurricane in Hawaii right before I moved there. And I ran into men and women as I was getting to know the islands and stuff that had moved there and had stayed there because God had sent them there to help during the restoration after a hurricane. And I remember thinking, you know, I'm a college student, I'm not born again. What? Like, just don't be self-righteous. Just, you wanted to live in Hawaii. You moved to Hawaii to live in Hawaii, not to help the hurricane devastation. You know, and it wasn't until I was born again that God would move on us in such a manner that we would end up in places that we never dreamed. So some of us aren't engaging the mission, but some of us have engaged the mission and we're still missing the mark. And what Saul believes here is that I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, so now what happens when we feel pressured by God? We start to blame others. Oh Lord, it wasn't me. The people. The woman you gave me. Come on. Amen. The people, the people took some of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the choicest of things devoted to destruction to sacrifice the Lord your God at Gilgal. And here's the thing, you and I will stand before the Lord for what we've done, for the choices we've made. Listen, I haven't always led well. I haven't always been a great example. But in the places that I have led well, where I have walked in conviction and you have followed, I love the accolades. I love the affirmation. Oh, Jeff, that was good. But guess what? That's so temporary to when you stand before the Lord and go, hey, Lord, I heard Jeff preach this message one time and it was really good. And God's going to say, yeah, it was good, but what'd you do with it? Because ultimately it was my word. It was my call. And I will stand before the Lord and I won't be able to say, Lord, you gave me a bunch of sheep that were so amazing and so awesome. They let me show up after vacation and totally go after a subject on witchcraft that probably is like a little weird for you, those of you who are visiting. But And God's, I trust that God's going to go, but you obeyed me because you sensed that's where I was going. And so we have a responsibility to recognize. We can't blame others. Now, that doesn't dismiss the fact that some of them have done stuff to us. They've inflicted stuff on us. They're hurting us, or they're potentially hurting us. God sees all that. But you and I will stand before the Lord in such a manner that we have to take responsibility for our choices. So Samuel says to him, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Now, if you're new to Christianity and like all of this is just like, I thought it was just about Jesus, and all I have to do is accept Jesus, and I like the song selection, and I like the lights, and oh, we get to come to a church building. Can I just tell you, the honeymoon is over today. It's there's so much more, and it at times is so challenging, but so rewarding, because the so much more is, like, Lord, you care about what's going on in here, not my offering, not my attendance, not that my hands are raised, not that you know I memorized those words. That's part of it. But what the Lord actually cares about is what's going on inside of us. He would rather have the offering of your heart than all your money. And this is where we miss the mission and the obedience in the moment. Because we can stop and go, hey, Lord, look at me. I'm here at Sunday morning church. You know, I'm serving, I'm tithing, I'm doing all these things. I'm raising my hands in worship. I'm pitting out because, like, I'm excited and things are good. You know, it's like, come on, Lord, this is awesome. And the Lord, in a way, grieves because he knows that when you potentially go home or you go someplace else, you find yourself in despair and depression. You're carrying bitterness and anger. And he has an answer for all of that. And it's Jesus. And what we've done, unfortunately, and it's in the church, but it's also in every other segment of society, is that we've put a demand on people to perform to an expectation of acceptance that is not kingdom-minded. We've put a demand on people to perform, to live up to look like, to resemble an identity that hides or masks reality of what's going on inside. And what's unfortunate right now is that there is a breaking down of that willingness to hold that mask on anymore. And what we're faced with is now the vomit, the projectile vomiting of all that has been inside. And some of it's very good because it has to come out, and there's the glory of the Lord, and there's the identity, and we've prayed this the last few years. It's like, you've got a voice, use it. But what we have to also recognize is make sure you hear yourself, you know, let your voice out in your room and the intimacy of the heart be known and exposed. But then there's all that other junk in there that when the filter of Jesus isn't there, man, it just spews out. And what I don't want to get caught up in is the tidal wave of just garbage that people are hanging on to. And yet I'm not going to run from it. Because Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the answer. And I was there like they're there now. We were all there. And if you're here and you're not born again and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, there is a distinct difference in our lives when Jesus is given access to begin to change kind of the toilet bowl that we've been sitting in. When all of a sudden we give him access and we allow him to begin to flush and flush and flush and clean and purge and remove through the working power of Holy Spirit in our life. And it happens, yes, when we worship. It happens when we read the word. It happens when we fellowship. It happens when we're in intercession. It happens when we recognize the prophetic nature of the Lord ministering to us and through us. All those things are about flushing and renewing and bringing out a greater identity of who we are in Christ. But then we get to this point where sometimes it's just easier to put on the face than it is to deal with the reality of what's going on inside because of the expectation that others put upon us. Or that we believe they're putting upon us. Because sometimes it's just perceived. And I know that sometimes it's not. And therefore there's been hurt and there's heartache. But what Samuel is doing here with Saul is he's identifying, listen, You've taken more delight in thinking that a burnt offering or a sacrifice is more important to the Lord than obeying his voice. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Verse 23, for this is where we were going to, we'll figure out what we're going to do here. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of, my translation says divination. Other translations, this is New American Standard Bible, I believe the King James, New King James says witchcraft. I'm not sure, sorcery might be another word, but it's all the same word. Rebellion is as the sin of divination, witchcraft, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry, because you've rejected the word of the Lord, and he has also rejected you from being king. So what we can extrapolate from this is an understanding that at times, when we choose to go our own way and rebel against the will of God, whether because we don't know it or we're actually transgressing, meaning we're intentionally disregarding it, we will fall into the nature of witchcraft. Because this is what happens, is that God opens up a door for you and I, and this is the path that he wants me to walk down right here. It's clear cut. Maybe it's not as long because sometimes he only shows us a few steps. We look at it and go, I don't want to go down that path. And we actually choose to speak into existence another path that isn't there yet. And how many of you have ever walked in such a manner where you feel like, man, you're having to crawl over things in order to get through things? We're fighting in such a manner where, again, the grace of the Lord would come and correct us and say, will you trust me? Will you obey me? The path is easy. It's narrow, but it's definitely easier than you trying to cut your own path. Make your own way. Sometimes I look at that path and go, Lord, I don't like the people that have been down it. I don't want to associate with them. I don't think I agree with them. The theology, I'm not sure where that's going to go. So I'm just going to step aside, and you know what? I can skirt it and crawl. And again, what grieves the Father's heart is the fact that we would say, I'm making a sacrifice. I'm offering my life. I'm persevering. I'm struggling in the name of Jesus, and still be missing out on obeying the voice of the Lord. And when we do that, what he says that spirit of rebellion is that it's actually witchcraft. It's divination. I'm actually speaking into existence something that God did not intend. Now, it becomes even worse when we start to do that over other people. When we start to go, you know what? I don't really care for the way Josh does announcements. You know what? I'm just going to turn it off, tune out when Josh does announcements. Now, that might not sound like a big deal to you. It might sound pretty innocent, and honestly, I don't like listening to myself, and there are times when I speak over myself going, man, I got a terrible voice, or I don't really like the sound of my voice, and what I'm doing is I'm actually speaking death. And in that moment, Josh, it might seem innocent to you, but what it's actually doing as it progresses, it's tuning Josh out to when then Josh comes and goes, hey, I've got a situation I'd like for you to join me in prayer. Josh is speaking. I don't know what he's talking about. I've lost my connection because I've built this wall of words and thoughts and literally witchcraft. And then it gets even worse when we start to curse them, demean them, devalue them, dismiss them. And them being saved and unsaved. There are things in the world, things the sinful nature have brought to the forefront of our society that I don't accept and I don't agree with. But my battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. And what I've got to guard my heart from is tuning people out and stop listening to them versus, okay, Lord, I pray for some grace right now. Let me keep my ears open and let me look for the open door to bring the light of truth in. And yes, there will be people that you just have to create boundaries around because of the affliction and the wounding that they will inflict upon us. But let us not be prejudiced. Let us not prejudge others in such a manner that, you know what? I don't like them. Well, I don't even know them. I was at the grocery store a few weeks ago coming out of Albertsons in Clarkston. And there was a young man who had a very very feminine look, if you will, and most likely probably might consider himself gay. I have no idea. I mean, I could make a judgment, look at him and be prejudiced, and I'm really guarding my heart against that. But as I'm walking out, he's walking in, and this guy, and probably about a 10-year-old son, I'm assuming a son. See, I just made another assumption. He just had a boy, and I don't know if it was son. They began to berate this young man. The dad was, "You effing F this, and you get out of our city, and if I had a gun, I'd shoot you now. You don't belong here." And I literally had to turn around and go, "What on earth are they talking about?" Well, they're yelling at this kid. And then the 10-year-old boy started to say the exact same things his dad was saying. And I was like, I don't agree with maybe the lifestyle choice that this young man is making. But at the same time, I don't even know that young man. I mean, I could look at him and, yes, make some conclusions, but I even want to guard against that. Because I don't actually know what the Lord is doing in his life. And yet here's this man and a boy that are just berating and tearing down. And by now I'm to my car, and they were walking out behind me, I guess, and the kid was walking in. And they just wouldn't let it go. Like, they're walking to their car yelling, and the kid is now in the store. And I'm like, there's a part of me, if you know me, that is like, "Well, Lord, I'm okay damaging my car as I ram it into his car." Like, because, Lord, you'll take care of all my needs, and I will end up with a better vehicle. Now, that's where my mind goes. And so, I came home and told my wife, but, I got to my car, and he was parked across the aisle from me, and I just looked at him. I go, "Do you know him?" And he's like, "No, I don't know that guy." I go, "Well, I pray nobody ever speaks to you like that. And I pray for the future of your son." And he was like, "Who the F are you?" And I'm like, I didn't know what to say. But what I did just say is, "I'm a concerned citizen of this city. And that is not okay." And he's looking at his son, "Just go your way." And I said, "Oh, I will." And I backed up my vehicle, and I waited for him to pull out, and I just followed him for a little bit, not knowing what the heck I would do. I mean, because again, who am I? But something rose up within me, and what I had to reconcile later is, one, Lord, was I still Christ-like? Because I thought I was fighting the right fight, but was I? And that's the evaluation that we all have to go through. But what I don't want to get involved in is the witchcraft that then comes, and I'm willing to protect one but not call upon the Lord to bless the other. And that's the challenge, right? Because that's what we do. And the root here of witchcraft, and I'll get off this subject because I want you to think through some things with me as I close, and I'll preach my other message another day, is that at the root of witchcraft, what's identified here is the nature of idolatry and iniquity. And this goes back to kind of some of the mental health we had talked about, and I'll just make this plug, is that our normal oftentimes doesn't line up with what the normal of the kingdom is. And God is constantly at work at trying to rework that. And so sometimes we'll take our past, which is normal to us, our iniquity. So real quickly, I'm looking at some of your faces. So there's three types of sin. There's sin, there's iniquity, and there's transgression. You can go research this week. So sin is the generic, just I've missed the mark. I've fallen short of what God wants for me. Iniquity is the sin that has been passed on or I've been raised in. So I didn't know my mom was sinning when she did such and such, because I wasn't raised in a home like that where conviction and sin was. So we let certain things go. And so that iniquity that's passed on from generation to generation is oftentimes our normal. That type of sin is called iniquity. The third type of sin that the Bible talks about is the sin of transgression, where I know what is right, but I willingly choose to do what is wrong. I'm actually transgressing against the knowledge of God. And obviously, it's all sin, but what grieves the heart of the Father more than anything is when there's transgression. And the nature of what witchcraft is rooted in is the transgression of idolatry, meaning I know what is wrong, I know that to take my pride, my arrogance, my thoughts, and subject someone else to them, that idolatry, that I am better, that I am greater, that I somehow know, that I can speak for all of you, to do that is to transgress against the Father's desire for you and I to remain as sons and daughters. Now, that doesn't take away from our authority. It doesn't take away from our power. It doesn't take away from our position and our sonship. But what it does is it keeps in perspective this relationship of Father, Son, and we are seated in the likeness of the Son. And when I choose idolatry, the idol nature of my life is greater than your circumstance, your reality, your situation. And this happens so easily. This happens by not even stopping and considering where they're coming from. You know, and we all do this. I mean, we all do this. I mean, I wrestle with this a lot. In stopping and just waiting and realizing, wait a minute, I don't even know where they're coming from. Let me just find out. And then the worst one is I make the assumption of I know where they're coming from. And I draw upon all that assumption. And what happens again is then we begin to speak out over them. And what the Lord would want us to caution, Paul in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses like 20, somewhere in there, I believe. You know, he lists the fruit of the flesh, right? And one of the fruits of the flesh is this nature of divination. I don't think the New Testament calls it divination. I don't know where my glasses are. But the fruit of the flesh, starting in verse 19, it says, so my translation says, sorcery. And again, it's the same thing. And what I want to make sure you understand is that witchcraft isn't some old lady sitting there with a really long nose and a hairy wart on her face with a pointy long finger and a fingernail, you know, mixing some spell with, you know, toad's legs or something like that. That's not witchcraft. I mean, it is witchcraft, but that's not the imagery of witchcraft. Witchcraft is instilling upon others our desire versus God's desire. And where does all of this land? Let me just end with this thought. When you and I gather, and we come into what I believe is an opportunity, I want us to be a people who aren't missing out on what God has for us because of all the stuff that we've just spoken into existence that isn't Him. All the stuff we're carrying that we haven't let Him deal with. And that doesn't happen overnight, I get it. And some of us don't even realize some of the stuff we're saying or some of the stuff we're carrying. But what I want to make sure, and what I felt convicted about this morning, is that we wouldn't miss out, because here's my heart's cry. I feel like I've been praying those prayers for the last 23 years of my life that I've been born again. I've been singing those songs as good as they are. Some of them were new to me. You know, well done, thank you, Andy, this morning and the worship team. You know, and I see those words and I'm convicted to go, Lord, I do want that. I want that fire to fall. I want the community to be saved. I want to see your face. I want to go to that place where the more is so rewarding and so enriched with the goodness of God and the kindness of God. And yes, we can go there, and yes, we're called there, and yes, there's no limitations, and yes, He's poured out His Spirit without limitations. But Lord, at the same time, I also need to stop and recognize, what on earth is keeping me from going there? What am I doing that's keeping me from going there? And Lord, is there things going on against me? And the answer to both is yes. Yes, there are things that I'm doing, and yes, there are things that are going on. And here's how we guard ourselves specifically from those things that are going on against us. We can deal with our own stuff and kind of have been, but let me just say this. We walk in obedience. So if somebody has aught with you, or somebody is, you know, speaking against you, or somebody is engaging in, you know, the witchcraft, which is, you know, very demonic when you really get into it. If they are doing that, not if, they are doing that. Whether they're doing it by name in your life or just by the association with Jesus Christ, it's happening. There's demonic witchcraft out there. There's Satanists, cultists, all of that are speaking against the body of Christ. We know it's happening. So how do we guard against it and continue to move forward? We walk in obedience because obedience can't be touched by the enemy. It's like the hand of the Lord is so guarded on that place of this is what I've said. His word will never return void. It will be fulfilled. And so this is where, again, if you're struggling with headaches, if you're struggling with confusion, if you feel like you've just had one thing after another just break down. I had a few conversations this week with people just talking about the weirdness of their life. And it wasn't until this morning that it dawned on me. It's like, oh, Lord, I mean, there's witchcraft against the body of Christ right now. And I'm not trying to call any of you out. I'm not pointing fingers. I don't even discern that. What I'm discerning is that we would be men and women who are sensitive right now. Our spiritual antennas are up in such a manner that we're dealing with this house first so that then we can deal with this house and then we can go deal with that community and the communities and the nations. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? We're just going to take, thank you. We're going to take just a few more minutes. Thank you for joining us this morning, especially those of you that came as visitors and guests. I'm going to pause real quick. I got an announcement to make, but let me get through this, and then I'll make an announcement and release you this morning. Holy Spirit, and again, I love the posture that Josh had us in, and I would invite you to just take it again. Put your hands out before you, and I'm going to ask that you keep your eyes open, but if you're really distracted, then of course you can close them. But just, I want you to look into your hands, and I want to activate some gifts right now. And I want to first activate your eyes to see spiritually. Lord, Holy Spirit, I ask that right now my senses be activated to see, to hear, to smell, to feel, to know, like where I'm at and what I'm carrying. And right now, Lord, I gaze upon my eyes, and I ask that you would show me things that I'm carrying that aren't of you. Any nature of rebellion, any nature of idolatry, and forgive me, I'm going a little fast. I don't mean to do that. I want to make sure you have the time. But this is an exercise that I would encourage you to do this week. Just take some time at home. Put some worship music on and just sit with your eyes open, looking in your hands, and just see if he shows you anything. Sometimes he'll give you a word. Sometimes he'll give you a picture of something. And my encouragement to you would be get back in the word. What does that symbol mean? What does that word represent? And so, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would show us this morning anything that we're holding that is not of you, that is robbing us of the joy of the Lord. That is keeping the nature of the kingdom, the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom itself, from advancing. Father, your word says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Father, I pray that my hands right now would reveal things that are not of your throne that I've chosen to carry and didn't know. Lord, any nature of sin, iniquity, or transgression, show me so that I know how to let it go. And then if you'll just picture this with me, if your hands were to be dipped in paint, like a little kid doing some finger painting, and that paint represented, let's just say, some anger or bitterness, maybe that paint would represent prosperity and healing. Father, I pray that you would show me where my handprints exist around those around me. And that right now, Lord, I thank you that, Lord, their name would come to mind and I would see and be moved to recognize, oh, Lord, I've put my hand on them and it's got the mark of anger. Oh, Lord, I've put my hand on them and it's got the mark of bitterness. Or, Lord, I've put my hand on them, thank you, and it's got the mark of prosperity. It's got the mark of healing. Lord, would you show us this morning? And Lord, would you show us, using the terminology that we looked at really quickly this morning, just where I've engaged in witchcraft, where I've engaged in rebellion, where I've brought condemnation on others and judgment and prejudice. Father, where I've chosen to engage the mission, but I'm still not walking in obedience to what you've actually asked in this mission. Father, would you show me if I'm holding back and not engaging the mission because I'm afraid or I'm looking for validation or whatever else there is that would keep me from holding back. Father, would you show me what words I'm carrying in my hands that have yet to be fulfilled and are your promises? And I feel like even in that, there's some washing going on. The Lord would just begin to wash some stuff off. Just re-expose it like it's been buried under some mud or some dried up dirt. And it's like, oh yeah, I keep carrying this and I forget what it is. It's like today, Lord, it's exposed and it's washed. And it's like, oh, that's what that is. Oh yes, Lord. Remind me again. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Some of you, I just sense that you might even be holding your children in your hands. And again, the grace to be their parent is so powerful and so necessary. But would you also look at them and go, thank you, Lord, that you know how to parent them. That Holy Spirit, you are the best parent. And it doesn't negate our responsibility. It just simply acknowledges that God the Father who created them knows also what's best for them. Not also, but better than what I know for them. And so, Lord, thank you. And Father, I just say that, again, I'm just going to come back to this right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we break off the cycle of headaches, the cycle of migraines. Any of you that have double vision and struggle with double vision, we break that off. And if it has any root to witchcraft that's against us or witchcraft that we've engaged in, that, Father, it's exposed right now in the name of Jesus. And we break it off by the blood of Jesus. And that we walk out of here sensing and knowing the freedom. I would encourage some of you to even pray over your homes, your dwelling places, and put up a guard, put up a hedge of fire around it. And how do you do this? It's simply, Lord, I thank you that my dwelling place, whether it's an apartment, it's a home, it's a duplex, it's a room in a house, that, Lord, this house is under your domain. And no word, no thorn, no fiery dart of the enemy can permeate it. And Lord, show me where the breaches in the wall are. If it's in my faith, if it's in my obedience, if it's in my understanding of who you are, Lord, today, thank you for the grace to set those angels in place to guard, but I'm going to grow up in that area. And I'm going to stand in such a manner that I'm pushing, as Josh was saying earlier, to see the kingdom of the Lord break through and set my home at peace. Some of you should pray over your vehicles. You wonder why there's trouble in your vehicles. You wonder why the breakdown, they just seem odd. Yes, vehicles wear out. Yes, parts have to be replaced. But it's the frequency and it's the oddity. And something in you is saying, this just seems really weird. I would say to you, that is the Lord trying to whisper to you that you need to, again, bless your vehicle and stand against those that would stand against you. And say, in the name of Jesus Christ, this vehicle and I am blessed. And there will be no stealing of what is mine and what you've given to me. It will be useful. It will get me to work on time. It will get me to where I need to go. And that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, every fiery dart of the enemy is turned back on him in the name of Jesus. Because that is the authority that you and I carry. And that in itself is the word of the Lord at work versus the witchcraft that sometimes happens when we say, oh man, I'll never have a good vehicle, or oh man, this vehicle sucks, and oh man, this, you know, more money down the drain. Like all of that, Lord, guard our hearts, help us capture our tongue and speak life in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, just bless the Lord. Sit down real quick, and then I'm going to release you because I want to make sure I get this out. I should have done this earlier, but are we good? Yeah, okay. Amen. Thank you. And if you're not, you know, Josh is great. I love Josh. He has totally helped us out the last few weeks for Pastor Mike and I to take some vacation time. And so thank you, Josh. Real quickly, when I go on vacation, I just turn my phone off and I don't check emails. So if you've tried to reach out to me, God bless you. I try to leave messages that say I won't be back. I haven't gotten to any of that yet. I haven't listened to the last two Sunday messages. I try to enjoy my time with my family. And so if you've been trying to reach me, I will do my best this week, if not in the next week for sure to get back to you, to follow up, to schedule appointments and all of that. But again, thank you for the grace in that season. What we're going to do next Sunday, and I would ask that all of you would participate in this adventure. But next Sunday at 9 a.m., you are invited to join us down at Pioneer Park. From 9 to 9:30, we're going to do worship and fellowship in the Pioneer Park grass area with about 5 other churches. And then from there, what we have decided to do, and you don't have to do this. There's projects all over the city to go and serve at. But what we're asking you to consider is that then you would come back here when we're all dismissed from there and join us in blessing River City Dance Outreach Ministry. This fall, starting in September, River City Dance has a dance ministry that's open for anybody to attend, and it's part of their outreach as a church. They're renting our facility, and they're taking over the downstairs of our children's wing starting in September. There is a lot of work that needs to go in to getting them in here that second week of September. And so we have decided, and one of the service projects that has been made available for anybody to attend is to come to Echo Hills and really go after it. Some things that, if you're interested in helping, there will be physical labor. We are putting in a new floor down there. We're ripping up old flooring. There's a bunch of styrofoam stuff on the walls that will all have to come down. The vacuuming, the dusting, and the cleaning, which I know some of you love to do, really shouldn't be the first thing we do because of the mess that we will be making. And so if you would like to join us, we will be at Pioneer Park at 9, and then we'll be back here about 9:45. Now, if you choose not to join us at Pioneer Park and just want to come and be here and be a set of hands, then we will be back at 9:45, and we're going to work until about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and then release you. A handful of us will continue to work because of some of the physical labor that just needs to get done, and we don't know if it'll get done in that time frame. But there are things here to do, as well as there will be things elsewhere in the city that you can find out more about at Pioneer Park. They'll have a big board out, and you can go to those locations, and you can go serve and all of that if you don't want to get your hands dirty. There may be other things that are maybe less physically demanding, but we as a church really wanted to bless River City Dance, not by just inviting them in to lease our building, but to also provide some physical labor. So if you're able to join us, and if we end up with like 100 people here, I guarantee you we will find other projects that are, you know, we've got our food bank and our clothes closet, and then we just got other things in the building because the building does get used that, again, are part of ministry outside of our church. So what I don't want to hear, and I've had to catch myself a couple times, is saying, oh, we're not having church next Sunday. That is not what we're doing. We are going to be the church. It's just going to look a little different. There won't be a 10 o'clock gathering in this building. And again, here's the other thing. I realize that some of you still got vacation time. The physical labor might not be your thing. There's nothing wrong with staying home and being an intercessor and honoring. There's nothing wrong with even just stopping by, and don't feel compelled to, like, you have to pick up a shovel or you have to pick up a hammer. I mean, sometimes just being a cheerleader and a champion of others as they serve is a way of serving. And so again, there's plenty of opportunity. Don't dismiss or disqualify yourself. Don't let witchcraft come out of your mouth going, well, I can't do that work and I don't have a purpose or I don't have a place. No, we are the kingdom of God. We are the sons and daughters. We walk in the gifts and the gift mixes that he's given us and that we can appropriate in our age, in our time, in our season to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. So what did you all just hear? Next Sunday, 9:45 for here, for sure.